God in his deep love and his livingness has a scripture for us today, so may the Holy Spirit deliver it from the scriptures, from the word of his heart, and as you feel the burnings of the Spirit within you, you know, let's commune in fellowship in the word together as we close at the end after I share from these verses. So we're going to be starting in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And the title of this sharing, I actually have a title. How's that? It's called Josiah's Altar Fire. Josiah's Altar Fire. So if you want to turn to 2 Chronicles. Oh, there I am. Okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And we'll start there. Okay. And it would be really helpful to look at the scriptures while we're doing this, because we're really just going to be looking at the Word of God. I love to just let the Word speak and just come under the authority of the Word of God. 2 Chronicles, chapter 34. Let's start with verse 1. And what we're going to be looking at is this new king who pops in on the scene after a succession of really, really awful kings. Let's just take a look at that. Three kings before Josiah is Hezekiah, who was a man that had a heart for God and really loved God and did a lot of things. In fact, one of our 2020 scriptures is from Hezekiah building conduits to get the living waters and the supply of life out to others. So, you know, in so many ways, this man was very precious to the heart of the Lord, and that was Josiah's great-great-grandfather. But then, of course, Hezekiah cried out for 15 more years, kind of rejected the cross in his life, and brought forth Manasseh. And that's Josiah's great-grandpa, or grandfather, or whatever, great-papa, all the different names. But that's Josiah's great-grandpa. And he didn't really have any kind of a heart, did a lot of evil. His son was Ammon, and Ammon was just like Manasseh, and he did not have a heart for God at all. And yet out from Ammon comes Josiah. And with Josiah begins a whole new feel and spirit and season of loving God. When he pops in on the scene, things begin to change, and with him becomes a new regime, a new wave, a new passion, a whole new way, David's way. It's not new. It's what was in David's heart. It's what's in the Son, truly, the eternal Son's heart for his Father. But that way is in a king, and it starts changing everything. And I do believe that the way the Holy Spirit was kind of, I don't know, impressing my heart, it was very personal to me. It was something that I felt the Lord was speaking to my heart for the season that I'm in and the things that God is doing. And I feel like a lot of people feel this way because we're together as his body. And he is moving in us in ways that are like Josiah was bringing on the scene when he became king. So I really feel like as we read these verses that talk about Josiah's life, that the Lord is going to be quickening to each one of us personally in specific areas that are personal, the ways that our hearts can get after the Lord in the season that we're in right now, and how those steps and those new ways can usher in the Lord in incredible ways for the days to come. So, Father, we ask that your Spirit would minister into our hearts living seeds with fire inside of them to break free in our inward parts ways and means of yielding to the government of the Lamb, that he might truly, not in doctrine or deep, moving, inspirational verbiage, but in eternal reality, break free inside of our inward being and bring the kingdom, thy kingdom come, and let it come by the release of the seed of God. And Lord, we believe that there are things in your heart that will usher this forth as we align ourselves in agreement through oneness with your Son as our head and our life, that you will have dominion and freedom to move in us in incredible ways, Lord. We want that for your sake. We do. So, Lord, we just open wide the everlasting doors that the King of Glory, the true King of glorifying the Father, could come in. Come on in to this temple, which is myself and maybe others, that is in disrepair and lies of ruins with idols and groves and high places still intact, Lord. Let the King of Glory come through those everlasting doors and begin to bring forth the kingdom that will truly glorify the Father, Lord. We mean it. We mean it. And we're gathered here for you. So have your way inside of us and let us pray for one another. Stand with one another until you receive the harvest that you're after. All right. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old. 8 years old when he began to reign. I really feel like there's something there from the Lord's heart. Maybe it's just for someone. Maybe it's for all of us. I really don't know, because it's in his heart. There's something there that he was 8 years old. And maybe it has something to do with, or one of the angles would be, that there had just been so much junk on the throne with Manasseh and Amon reigning for so many years before Josiah came, that God just moved and dealt and removed Amon quickly, just got rid of him and brought Josiah in. Because within this little boy, within this little 8-year-old Josiah, was the potential for God to get the things his heart longed for, to get his son in a real way, in a way that would be beyond what these other kings, even maybe the Hezekiah kings, had done. A way God needed his son through his people. And so God just gets his Josiah. He didn't wait till he's 12. He doesn't wait till he's 16. He doesn't wait till he's 21. At 8 years old, he brings him in, and this little dude's got to have armed guards around him, because, and that's another story in another place in the scriptures, because, man, the evil mother of the, I think her name's Athaliah. I could be wrong on that. That's just coming to my memory. Maybe that's wrong. But there was attack on this Josiah because he was young, he was vulnerable, and he had the seed in him, the potential of really bringing forth the kingdom. So there was attack on that baby beginning of a new day dawning in the kingdom of God. Hey, how about that for us? A new day dawning inside of us. And there's this little Josiah heart, this 8-year-old, that says, I am not going to stand for the way it has been. I am not going to allow the ways of my father and my forefather and my grandfather to infiltrate my kingdom and my not on my watch. No, sir. We're going to bring it down. We're going to bring down the glory. We're going to take down the old flesh, the old idol worship, the ways that destroyed the work of God and his people. I'm going to be for the Lord. And so here he comes. He's 8 years old. When he begins to reign, he's not just sitting there waiting to take the throne. At 8 years old, he is on the throne. He's beginning at that point. At that point, God says, you may be 8 years old and not old enough to have enough sense to know up from down in certain areas, but you have the right heart. And that's more important to me than the greatest, wisest in the earth leadership that I could find. I need a man with a heart after God like David did. I need him. And if he's only 8 years old, I'm putting him on a throne and I'm taking down the others. It's time for a man with a heart after me to start moving things forward in the right direction. We just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. This is scripture. God did this, 8 years old. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. Verse 2, and he did that which was right. Where? In the sight of the Lord. Didn't matter what other people thought. it didn't matter. Jeremiah was his peer. Jeremiah was like the same age, in the same age group as Josiah, and Josiah was a huge inspiration to Jeremiah. And I bet Jeremiah was a huge inspiration to Josiah. Can you imagine the communion? Even if Josiah's just reading Jeremiah's letters. Oh, wow, fueling one another's passion to bring forth the Son. May there be Josiahs and Jeremiahs in our midst today. May we be on that level of communion to bring forth the Son. Think about Jeremiah and the manner in which he sought God and the manner in which he pressed the people to not, no, it's not enough. It's not enough. The Lord, we've forgotten him days without number. No, we are not going to, here's Jeremiah, we are not going to avoid the cross. We are going to go into Babylon and bring forth the Son. We are going to let the cross thresh us. We are going to go all the way. We're not going to avoid the sword. We're not going to say peace and safety when we need to go into the grave and die with Jesus. We need to yield to that finished work. No. And Josiah saying, and let's remove all this old stuff and let's go for God. Man, think about the spirit that fueled one another's passion to go for God and to do it real, to be for real, to go all the way. Man, may we have that kind of communion in our generation. It's a beautiful thing. Both of them given place in the very word of God. Chapter 34, verse 2. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Next part of the sentence. And he walked in the ways of David. He walked in his ways, the ways of a man who's got a heart after God's own heart. He walked in the ways of David, his father. Wait a second. I thought Josiah's father was Ammon. And I thought his father in the lineage of the flesh would have also been passed from Manasseh. Josiah says, no, my father is David. I am of the seed of David. I am after that kind. That is who I'm aligning myself with. That is my lineage. I'm after the generation of Jesus Christ. And that's the seed that is passing down to me. And that's the seed that's going to sit on the throne. And that's the order of the kingdom that I want brought forth. I'm not after my flesh. I am not taking the lineage of my flesh and the ways of that old yucky man that manipulates and connives and aspires to greatness and seeks his own and all those things that is us without Jesus. He just says, I am not aligning myself or identifying. I identify that as crucified, buried, and put away. My father is David, and I'm of his lineage, the lineage of Jesus Christ. You know, for the seed came out from that lineage, the tribe of Judah. In the ways of David, his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor the left. In other words, he just went for God. Verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, so that's when he's all of 16 years old, Josiah, while he was yet young, began to seek the God of David, his father. There it is again. So at 16 years old, he's seeking God in the manner that David sought God. And he's actively getting after it. So he's 16, and by the time he's 20, in the 12th year, he begins to what? Purge Judah and Jerusalem. Okay, let's just consider the progression there. So he's young, but he's aligning himself in with the seed, with the heart of God, with the seed, which is the Lamb, to take the throne. He starts seeking God in a way that's after his heart, in the way that David, his father, did. And by the time he's 4 years into seeking God that way, at the age of 20, something in him isn't going out and writing books and trying to be a great minister and trying to cultivate wonderful things for the Lord and the kingdom, you know, and do this and that would bring him glory and honor and make him look special and spiritual and royal and regal. And, you know, he is not promoting himself. He is not seeking his own, and he is not going for his own increase. At 20 years of age, after 4 years of seeking the heart of God in the manner that David did, he's ready to move in the first real written activity of his kingship. And what is that? And this is so powerful. This is what he starts to do. He starts to purge Judah and Jerusalem. That's the second part of verse 3. From the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. This dude, he is going to go, if you will, he's going to go to the cross, and he's going to take down with his own hands, if you will, everything that has exalted itself, that was should be crucified and should be buried and should have no place in the kingdom of God, should have no place in Jerusalem or Judah or anything that is considered to be the people of God or the body, the temple of the Lord. He is going to purge it out. And he does it, verse 4. And they broke down the altars of Balaam. And I love that it says this, in his presence. You know, Josiah didn't just tell his warriors or his mighty men, hey, go, you know, over here, over there, and break down the altars of Balaam. Let me know when it's done. Send me a text message. Not really, but you know what I'm saying. Shoot me a message on with a messenger and let me know it got done. No, Josiah's like, I am personally going to go and watch you break down the altars of Balaam. I want to watch them fall and make sure they're gone. This is personal to me. This is really important to me as king. I want to watch it. So he's there and they're breaking down the altars of Balaam. And here's the next words. And the images that were on high above them. Listen to the wording of that. The images that were on high above them. These images that were not the true glory of God, the true being, revealed being of God, but just images and idols that were on high. They'd been exalted, worshipped above them. He cut them down. Have you ever had someone cut down your images that were above you and high lifted up? He cut those high images down. He cut them down. That's a big thing. If you've ever experienced that personally, you understand that is a extremely significant move for a king to do that. And it will probably make some of the people want to literally kill him. And he's barely 20. But he's serious about bringing God glory through Jesus Christ and not offering up on his watch a whole bunch of idols and images and flesh and uncircumcision and all this Baal worship. He's serious about the Lord. He's really serious. I may say I'm serious, but you know what? Am I willing to cut down my high images that are above me? Am I willing to purge these high places in a way that's going to be applying the cross to my own loss, to my own painful loss if I'm attached to them? Am I serious? Or do I just have a really neat way of saying amen real loud when the preaching's happening with no personal application in these real life God-defining moments that show what's really ruling and reigning? This guy was serious. He cut them down, and the groves and the carved images. Listen, what's a carved image? It's an image that has been so loved and believed in and cherished and identified with that it's like engraven in our mind, and it's written into our hearts and our inward part. It's something that's become a part of us that isn't the revealed Son, the formed Christ. It's a carved image. He's cutting them out. The molten images, same spirit. It's been molten. It's been formed. It's been processed and engraven into us, molted into us. And he's carving them out. He's cutting them down. He's removing them. Man, he's not making decrees and laws about how we shall not worship at the high places. We shall not minister at the groves to Baal. No one is allowed to think in the manner of carved images, but all must worship. I mean, he's not just a figurehead. He's a son of God after the image, you know, bearing the son's zeal for the father's house like a fire in his bones. And he's going after everything and anything that is standing in the way of God getting his son through his people. Can I hear an amen, Kelly, from your own heart? Amen. There you go. That's when it counts. Thank you, Josiah, for being in the Word of God. Here, the molten, he broke them, what? In pieces. Well, maybe someone could come with a really good super glue, glue those molten and carved images back together, take them back into their heart, and assimilate them back as part of their way. So he says, nope, 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 nope. Crush them into powder. Make them dust. Put them in a form they can never be brought back to life and applied into our hearts again. And you know what? Don't just make them dust. Sprinkle them on the graves of those that sacrificed under those images. Wow, the man's a maniac for God. It isn't enough to take him down, cut him down, crush him, break him. It's not even enough to make him in ashes. Now he wants to take the ashes, and remember, he's in the presence of all this, and he wants to sprinkle them on the graves of the people who worshiped them. Just as a reminder, this is what you loved and who you worshiped. This is why you're in a grave. And I'm not gonna lay the idol on your grave like a tombstone in one piece, because you'll probably raise up from the dead and bring it back down with you. I've destroyed it in a manner where it can never be resurrected again and on my watch. But you need to remember that this was how you worshiped my son before the kingdom came. And let that work something deep inside of a brokenness that can never be repaired, but can be filled with the right spirit. Verse 5, and he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars. Okay, so now we've got ashes on graves of people who worshipped at these altars of Baal. And now he's finding the bones. He's digging around inside of the graves now to get down into the very bones of the priests that actually led the people to worship in this way. He ain't finished. And when he gets those bones, he's going to burn them into ashes. So that even if Elijah's bones are put on top of those graves, nobody's going to come back up. Nobody that's going to lead the people of God to worship Baal. Another image that's not Christ crucified, the slaughtered lamb, the true son of the Father's heart, the firstborn man. He said, I'm gonna deal with this so there's no coming back. So there's no coming back from this dealing. Josiah did it. He did it. 8 years old. At 16, he starts seeking God. At 20, after 4 years of seeking God in the way David did, this is what he starts to do in his own life, on his own watch, with that which he has dominion over from God. How many years have we been hearing the preaching? How many years have I been hearing the preaching of the cross in a way that was like after David, to give the God's heart, the son of his love? At what point am I going to be like Josiah, get up from that seeking and start burning it down to the ground, applying the cross where Jesus already did that, but taking the reality of that and making it real in my walk, in my life? Josiah is speaking to my heart today, and I am saying, thank you, Father. I love you. I love the spirit of this. Verse 6, and so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about, and that means the ruins. He went even to the ruins. He didn't just do it, the mattocks, it means the ruins around the cities. He wasn't even satisfied to do this in the cities. He had to go out to the ruins, just in case there was a vestige in the ruins outside the cities of anything that was of Baal worship or a priest or person who did that or any high tower, what all this stuff. And he said, and this death needs to reach the furthest reaches of the land, like an atomic bomb. It needs to just explode and spread until nothing of the old can rise again. This is the dunamis of the cross that should be impacting every one of our lives, because those who believe, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, will experience the power. The dunamis is the Greek word of that, translated the power of the cross. And we will not perish in our flesh. We will be saved. We will be saved from ourselves. Let it be, Lord. Your cross is this powerful. verse 7. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder, there it is again, beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel. Then he returned to Jerusalem. Wow. This guy was like, I am not going to go to Jerusalem, which represents the wife of the Lamb, the heart of worship, the place where God's getting his son in a fragrant way through sacrifice. It's really purely the worship that is the release of his Lamb through us. I'm not going back there and pretending to be the bride of Christ, wife of the Lamb, priest of God. I am not going back there until I deal with all this stuff in my life, in the land of my being, in my heart. And when that's dealt with and the cross is applied and it is no longer I, really, not just doctrinally or emotionally or in faith spiritually, but truly governing, then I'll go back to Jerusalem, because then I can give a pure offering to the Father of his Son. I love it. I love it. It's beautiful. And then in the 18th year, and now he's a little bit older, in his mid-20s, after he had purged the land and the house, he begins to deal with another area. And if we go to the same account that's of this area of Josiah, but that's in 2 Kings, we'll see that 2 Kings, and if you'll turn there, it's 2 Kings chapter 22, we'll see that 2 Kings deals with the same account of Josiah, but it emphasizes different areas, and that's the beauty of the scriptures, because a lot between 1 and 2 Kings, 1 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, you'll see this emphasis of different angles of the same story that really highlights things the Spirit wants to move on in our lives. It's a beautiful thing. But as we turn there to chapter 22 in 2 Kings, we'll see that there's a different emphasis in this account, but there has been a progression happening throughout both accounts of someone who's getting really serious in their pursuit of God. And the beginning of that, as you're turning there, is that he's dealing with his flesh. And we just read that in chapter 34 of 2 Chronicles. He's dealing with it in a very real way. And as he, after he's done that and been true to that, The next step is this next area, which is supporting the repair of the house. It moves from dealing with this flesh, these images, these idols, to the house. It moves from the flesh that was taking over the land to the house itself, where God wants to dwell, and dealing with that area. So it's moving deeper in, more and more into God's heart. All right. So let's go to chapter 22, 2 Kings, and start reading with verse 1. Couple of it's going to be the same thing, but we'll see the quick transition into a new area. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adaiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in all the way of David, his father, and turned not aside to the right hand nor to the left. That's almost an exact quote of what's the same in the Chronicles version, verse 3. And it came to pass in the 18th year, so it skips over the whole, 2 Kings skips over the whole area of dealing with idols and flesh and all that, and it moves directly into dealing with the house. Verse 3, and it comes to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. Verse 5, and let them deliver it into the hands of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house. So immediately there is this change of focus from dealing with idols and images and flesh and all that to the need to repair the house of God, the need for the house of God to be repaired so it can contain the glory, so it can contain the king, the life, God himself. It's in disrepair. Idols aren't the only thing. Flesh isn't the only. There's this need for the house to be repaired. And so the focus turns from all of that stuff to provide for those who are doers of the work, who have the oversight of the house. Give it to the doers of the work so they can repair the breaches of the house. And it's funny, but it just said, provide for the ones who are doing this work. Why? So they can help the Lord get the things he wants to give the Father. Let's focus our resources and supplies now on those, not just who are talking about, but the doers of it, those who are the laborers and the overseers of the house that are doing this work to help repair the breaches. Pour the resources there for this thing to come together, for the God's heart to manifest to the carpenters, the builders, to the masons, so they can buy the timber and the hewn stone to repair the house. Let the resources be gathered that this work, this good work, might happen. It's the next stage. And verse 7 says, howbeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hands, because they dealt faithfully. In other words, this wasn't an accounting thing. This wasn't based on, how much should I tithe, or what is being required? Is this coming by a decree? He's like, no, you don't even have to make a reckoning on the money that's being given to them, because everything right now is happening because they dealt faithfully. It's done in a love spirit. It's done because everyone's just in a spirit of just giving God his son. It doesn't have to do with law. It doesn't have to do with requirements. It doesn't have to do with legalities. There's a spirit that's in Josiah, that was in David, that is coming from the son himself or his father, that's pouring down into the people, that's quickening them in a certain spirit to take steps together to bring it forth in manifest ways. And once the house begins to be repaired, remember the first thing was the flesh, the next thing is repairing the house, then the Lord continues to progress in getting us ready for the things of his heart. And that's coming here in verse 8. I'm going very quickly because of time, but you know. All right, verse 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I was in the house, you know, getting the repairs fixed, etc., etc., and I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And he gave it to the scribe, and he read it. And skip down to verse 10. And Shaphan the scribe shows Josiah the king the book that he found in the house when they were doing the repairs. And the priest, he said, the priest delivered it to me, and Shaphan read it before the king. So now Josiah is hearing the book of the law that he didn't have that part of the Bible. It was lost. It was lost, and it was in the rubble. It was in the ruins. It was in the calamitous state of God's house that no longer was being quickened by life and spirit. It was this dead, forgotten word covered in a heap of rubble. But because they were in there trying to revive, trying to lift up, trying to repair that habitation for God, they found the word, a fresh living word, the word of his heart that we didn't even know existed, words from the heart of Jesus that were lost to us because of the idols and the disrepair. But now that we're getting after God, now that we're seeking his heart, now that we're moving with the cross and moving on his behalf and putting feet to our heart, getting our boots on and walking it out and doing it, the doers of the work. The word of God is being revived in our hearts in ways that we didn't even know existed. And it's being brought to the king. It's being brought to our hearts. And in verse 11, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. He's hearing the heart of God. It's breaking his heart. It's opening him up to give the Lord his son in new ways. And he's going to read it to the people. It's going to affect everything. And so even the word is being lifted up in spirit and life in the hidden treasures of the heart of God and the things that only those who seek him diligently will find. What a progression. It starts with dealing with the flesh. It continues to the repairing of the house and goes into the living word, finding new place and life in us. And all of this because a little dude said, no, I am not going to go the way of the flesh. I'm not going to go the way of my fathers in the flesh and my old ways. I'm going to get after God like David did, and I'm going to put my hands and heart into it, and I'm going to walk it out and apply it, and I'm going to seek the Lord with every fiber of my being in a real way, in an applied way, in a personal way. and I'm going to see the glory of God. And he did it. 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 And each step of the way, God gave him more, you know, until that true king, the slaughtered lamb, was enthroned. And of course, it is just a type and shadow in the Old Testament, but it really happened. There was a man with a heart like that. And there was a David with a heart like that. There was a Jeremiah with a heart like that. You know, and they cry out from the scriptures to us today because they're dead, but we are here now. It's our time. It's our time. We're the Josiahs, the Jeremiahs, the Davids. We are. And may that same spirit burn within us and ignite each other's hearts. Let it happen, Lord. Let it happen now. Let it happen here. Let it happen in us. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the word I believe you gave today. My Bible literally fell open to that verse. 3 minutes later, I knew that was from you, and that's all the prep I did. Lord, I know this came from you, and I know it's for me personally, and I take it. I take it personally. That's all the more I need to be concerned about, Lord. I need to take it for me, and I do, Lord. I need this. I need this, and I say yes and amen. And Father, if anyone else's heart resonates, it's between them and you, and we stand together, Lord Jesus. We stand and say, Lord, let it hit us. Let it hit us deep, and let it move us beyond the moment into action. And let the word of God burn in us like a fire in our bones so that we can continue on this path from dealing with flesh to repairing the house, from repairing the house to getting the life in the house through the word that we never knew could be so wonderful, the life of the Lamb revealed in us, filling the house to the kingdom coming, Lord. Worlds without end, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. We need you now. Have your way. Hear our hearts crying out for Jesus. We thank you for this time, and we thank you for the hearts that are gathered in this beautiful spirit that longs after you. But Lord, let our hearts move from longing to action, from action to the glory filling us, to it no longer being us, but Jesus in us. We pray this, Father, in your Son's name and for his sake and for your sake. Amen. Amen.